No, it's 451. It's my typo. That's 451 for hip of crap. Sorry. It was my mistake. The hymn of preparation is not 457, it's 451. I was unable to read my own penmanship. It happens. My mother-in-law, who's 98 and a half, penmanship is much better than mine will ever be. Good morning, everybody, and welcome.
Good morning.
It is an amazing sight to see the soaps and the razors and the toiletries coming in so that we're beginning to look like one of the local grocery stores. And thank you so much. God bless you for doing that. And when we get a call that someone needs toiletries, we'll be able to respond. And I know food is coming in, and God bless you for that, too, because there's a lot of folks out there that are pretty hungry. It's time for announcements. Do we have any? Okay. We want to welcome back Z from her wonderful trip to Florida. She comes back all rosy-cheeked, no warts, plays games, all sorts. And we're welcome back to and welcome back some other folks who have been away for a while and have come back. There will be a little visitor during the service today, just to cue you in. And also, I want you to think about having a special Wednesday or Thursday or whatever day, night works for you, Lenten Bible study today during Time for the Young at Heart. I will talk about that more as you pick something out of my Rooster Brothers bag. That's all we'll talk about that for now. Right. Be warned. But that's something you need to come to me with and say, hey, we can meet you, and tell me when. Mardi Gras Penobscot today has been canceled. It will happen after Easter because the storm is coming in, we think. So we're going to wait on that one. And March the 4th, I will be preaching at the Church of the Nazarene at 6:30 in the evening as part of the interfaith series that the Ellsworth churches are doing. And I get to be the kickoff preacher, and then they can kick me off. And I will be preaching on the Rainbow Covenant. And the whole series is called Promises to Keep. And if that's ding-donging a bell in your ear, that's the last line of Robert Frost's poem.
What's the day?
Miles to Go.
What's the day?
March the 4th, 6:30, you'll find me at the Church of the Nazarene.
Here
preaching.
Ellsworth?
Here in Ellsworth.
I love mine.
Thank you. I didn't know where it was. And every Wednesday evening, then, there will be another Ellsworth minister preaching. I know Emily Taylor from Ellsworth Falls United Church of Christ is one of the preachers. Priscilla Hookie, who is the Lutheran minister in town, is another minister that's preaching. That's the Episcopal minister. I'm not sure. I think he is. I'm not sure. But anyway, there are, you know, there's, and it should hit the media at some point, but it hasn't yet. All right. No other announcements? Yeah. Yes?
Yeah, I'm at Rickman Church.
Mm-hmm.
Rickman.
That's right.
It's okay. Rickman Church, Buckford.
Okay.
He goes to the church on Bucksport.
In Bucksport. Go visit Peter?
Yeah, Rick.
Yeah, okay. All righty then. Well, if there are no other announcements, then let's prepare ourselves by listening to the influence.
Thank you.
going to do it a little differently. I'll be reading the light printed, but Victor is going to come up and read the bold, and you will be repeating after Victor. Again, this is the way we do it in Penobscot, and we've found that it's been kind of welcoming to folks. Are you ready? So you will repeat after Victor. 783 goes over to 784, but we are going to stop at verse 6, right after verse 6. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Our God comes and does not keep silence,
before whom is a devouring fire, round about whom is a mighty storm.
God calls to the heavens above and to the earth, that the people may be judged.
God calls to the heavens above and to the earth, that the people may be judged.
Gather to me, my faithful ones, who have a covenant with me by sacrifice.
The heavens declare God's righteousness, for God alone is judge.
The heavens declare God's righteousness, for God alone is judge.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Victor. Well, Jacob is awake. That's good. I am not advertising, but it is a nice bag. Inside of this bag, and Jacob will be taking this bag around to you while we sing this little light of mine. That way we can have no dead air, as they say in theater. In this bag are cards, index cards. On each one is either a verse from a psalm, a hymn, a poem, or a prayer. Okay? Now, what on earth? You are going to reach in the bag and you're going to select one index card. Blindly. Do not read ahead. And during this week, I'm going to ask you when Lent begins, and when does it begin? Wednesday. That this be maybe part of your Lenten journey. How long is Lent?
6 weeks.
And how many days? 40 days. So for the next 40 days, maybe this will help you do something special. We always try to do something special during Lent. Sometimes it's giving up chocolate. Sometimes it's not. What I'm going to help ask you to do is to take the card and go and sit and read it and sit in silence and contemplate what that verse is saying to you. Or not. And do this more than once. Walk with the verse. Okay? 40 days. Jesus was also in the wilderness 40 days. So this is your wilderness experience, to take the unknown until in a few minutes you'll know. Do not share with anyone what you have unless you have to. And then when we gather, though, in Bible study, should we do that, that will be a sharing of what verse you were given. Next week, you turn the card in, we shuffle the bag, you reach in, and guess what? You have a chance to get a new card. That time, if you get the one that you had before, you throw it back in. Got it? Everybody clear as mud on that one? Good. Jacob, this little light of mine? All right. Oh, Al.
I take one to my wife?
You certainly may, Al. And anybody else that wants to take one for someone else?
I thought we do it out of the college because we're in the middle of time.
I know, it's, yes.
Readings today are 2 Kings 2:1-12 and Mark 9:3. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourselves live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elisha said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." For they came to Jericho. So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went, and stood at some distance from them. And as they were both standing by the Jordan, then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up, and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other, until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do to you, for you, before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. But when he could no longer see them, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into pieces. Mark 9, 2 through 9. And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see that the kingdom of God has come with power." 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain part by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. When a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for Gloria.
Thank you.
There's going to be a little transition in the sermon. Special guest is going to arrive. And when that happens, the focus will be over there. Okay? But let me just lift up a couple of things out of scripture that we heard this morning. I encourage you to contemplate verse 8 of 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, which describes Elijah taking off his mantle, rolling it up, and striking the water with it. And what happens? The water parts. Where have we seen water being parted before? And by whom? Think about that. And in Mark, we are told at the end of his life, Elijah was taken up in a fiery chariot pulled by horses of fire. Therefore, no burial ground, right? As for Moses, we are told that after he died, he was buried, but the place is unknown. It is a mystery. Just put that somewhere. Now, Transfiguration Sunday. During my Christmas vacation time, as well as on those snowy days when we did not have worship, I spent time, believe it or not, walking with this text. Over and over, I sought sources from known scholars to be a door to help me have some insight into how to approach writing a sermon about transfiguration. I sought other sermons, and I love to read the sermons of Barbara Ann Taylor, who is a marvelous preacher who teaches how to preach and how to write sermons. And so I yanked Barbara Ann Taylor's book off the shelf, and what did I find under Transfiguration Sunday? Quote, "Who can talk about transfiguration? Jesus certainly didn't talk about it, and neither did the three disciples with him. According to Luke, they kept silent." Barbara Ann Taylor ponders this about how Luke even knew about it, but then writes, "Pulling through," and she's talking about scholars, "pulling through this text for significance, explaining why so-and-so was there, why such-and-such said this or that, I guess that is all we know how to do with an experience that does not fit any of our categories. We just keep handling it," Barbara Ann Taylor wrote, "until we wear it down to where it feels safe to us. We just keep analyzing it until we can say something intelligent about it." And then this very intelligent woman, in her sermon on transfiguration, talks instead about transfiguration, but the moments in our lives which we call thin places, powerful spiritual moments. So she didn't tear it apart and analyze why Elijah, why Moses, etc. I found her confession and her sermon really helped ease my angst. But I continued to search and to look for glimpses that would help me enter into the story so that I could talk to you about it today. Well, I was very intrigued by the fact that Jesus stood with Moses, who represented the Hebrews and the laws, and Elijah, who was seen as a great prophet. Jesus stood between the two. We know how Jesus took those laws and he worked them down until we had how many? One and then two. And the first one was? Love the Lord thy God with all you got, and love your neighbor as yourself. We know Jesus was the Messiah, the long-awaited one, told to us by the prophets, and so perhaps that's why he appeared there with Elijah, a prophet. Now, in a very dense but amazing book about history that I'm slowly reading, I learn, and it's only that good. The Greeks believed only in the present and in tradition, while it was the Hebrews who gave us the idea of looking forward into the future. And in this book, I read, and I had been consumed with this idea, I really, really had, quote, "We live in history, and history lives in us." What a powerful statement, and one to help guide us in all that we do. These history thoughts are from an outstanding writer whose name is, the book is called The Meaning of History. The writer is Nicholas Baranov, Russian. It was first published in 1939 and republished several times after that, and the copy I have was published January 1949. We live in history, and history lives in us. So hold on to that thought as now I explore our scripture from Mark as I have heard it in my bones and in my imagination. And I feel it is a story that will be told by someone who may have also been there, but was not seen or written about in our scripture. Yes, a story, the Jews would call it a midrash, working a story over, if you will, a way to try and make this amazing moment more real to me, and hopefully more real to you. And so now I have to shift places and make sure my pages are in the right order.
I wanted to know what teachings, by his healings, the new way he has shown us all how to live. I just want to know more and more. And so I follow them to the mount. And I watch as Jesus ascended alone. And then I saw Moses and Elijah with him. I saw them glowing this great, brilliant light, a light that could never, ever be contained, nor should it. A light like the sun that lights to guide their days, but greater, greater than the light of the sun. Like the moon, that greatest light at night that guides us. This light was different. And standing beside Elijah and Moses, Jesus, a man I thought I was beginning to know, became Jesus, someone I would truly never completely know. Never, ever completely understand. He, now, and always, would be a glowing mystery. One moment, a gifted man. The next, I knew he was God's most glorious son. I watched, and I listened, and Peter, oh, prove once more, he just didn't get it. No temple could be home to this mystery. No temple building could ever contain Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, or the greatest of the great divine who called out, "My beloved." This light, this mystery, this amazing moment would be carried forever in our hearts, in the hearts of Peter and James and John and me. And yes, someday one of us would share what we experienced so that future generations would know that Jesus, the Messiah, described by the prophets, had come, and that Jesus, the one who was guiding us, would brought those 10 commandments written many years ago, and give us 2 to live by. Yes, we were to love with all of ourselves, every bit of ourselves, our whole being, God. We are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. I hid in the bushes as Jesus came down from the mountain. And moments later, James and John and Peter passed by me, silent, their eyes gleaming, reflecting what they had seen. Their lips sealed, closed. But as Jesus passed by where I hid, I felt this great warmth flood over and through me. And I know that he knew I was there. And as he passed by, his hand touched by him. And in my mind, I heard his words, "Wait, wait, tell no one what you have seen until after I am gone." So, I have lived with this story. I have not told anyone until just now. Now I have told it to you. The great mystery of the Transfiguration. consideration. Oh, tell it well. Tell it humbly. Tell it wisely, so others may know. Have some inkling of the wonder of God's majesty, the blessing that God gave to us by sending Jesus into our lives. Amen.
Joy for 13th Academy class B girls.
old town at the party, and for the girls that were hosting the party, and for the kids that were at that party, pray out for them.
We'll
tell you later. Prayers for them. And the strength of this mother, the wonderful words that this mother said, which was, may what happened to my son be a good example to other young people. So that's a prayer.
She found no, she didn't judge any of them.
She did not judge.
Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
away. Knowing by giving it away, it only grows greater in your heart. But it begins to glimmer in someone else's heart. And from heart to heart, life to life.